welcome everybody to another edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open and they are yours. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have been talking about hurt and the healing that God's good news can bring to our souls. And, you know, when we think about hurt, there's two kinds. There's physical pain, and we certainly understand physical pain. We don't normally get as upset about physical pain as we do about emotional pain. Mm-hmm. Usually we think the physical pain is going to take care of itself at some point. We just take an aspirin. We do, you know, it could be greater. We need something else. But at some point down the road, we think that's going to leave us. But this emotional pain, that's where we really struggle, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You point at me and you say that's true. I mean, it's the emotional stuff that you can't seem to get rid of. It kind of goes away and then it comes back and it goes away and it comes back. It's not like having a broken arm that the bone right. bends and you're done.
Right. There's anxiety, there's fear, there's guilt, there's self-pity, there's depression, there's just, you know, being blue, you know, down and out. And, you know, all of these things that are so common in the world today. And the sad part is when you're feeling anxious, you think you're the only one. But the reality is you're not unusual at all. That's why God says don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And so you have to ask the question, how do we get healing for this emotional pain? And the Word of God is very clear. It's through the renewing of the mind. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about emotional pain, and the Word of God is talking about renewing of the mind. There must be some correlation there, some relationship between what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And there is. It's a direct correlation. Whatever we're putting in these minds of ours, it's going to produce an appropriate emotional response. The reason we feel angry is because we're thinking angry thoughts. If we'll change what we're thinking, then we can experience healing of our emotions. Yeah. That's great news, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I don't have to be in bondage to these emotions. I don't have to be in bondage to anxiety. I don't have to live the rest of my life in fear or anger or disappointment or any of those negative emotions that we can experience. I can actually rise above those and experience things like peace and joy and love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, all of those things that transcend human emotions but are the direct fruit of God's Spirit working in our hearts and lives.
Yes, indeed. Well, everybody, we're here to bring you into the conversation. We want you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to the Bronx and talk with Sandra listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Amen, amen. I'm happy to also call you. I was just hearing about this, the gentleman that had called before about vision.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if you have ever heard of a vision. It's called the movement of the G12.
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's called the G12 vision movement. It's supposedly, I'm just going to try to explain it to you as much as I can, a little bit, because it's just so unbiblical what they're teaching now in this. It's just infiltrating the churches, especially the most small churches. Okay, it's called G12. It's a cultic discipleship course, which is supposed to make a believer, a leader, model supposedly after the apostles, saints. Okay, the G12 vision movement is a cell church discipleship, a strategy, pioneered by Cesar Castellano at International Charismatic Mission of Bogota, Colombia, where he was a pastor. Castellano believed that God spoke to him in a vision, laying out what he desired the church do in response to the end times.
Okay.
Okay, that's just a little bit of, you know, and it's also, it's called of overseeing the work of the church on earth. They are associated with the phrases such as Make It and Claim It, the Toronto Blessing, the Word of Faith, Signs and Wonders, and Health and Prosperity.
Well, Sandra, you know, there's a lot that could be said about the particular group and what they do and that sort of thing. What I encourage people to do is to listen with discernment and to put thinking caps on and to ask questions. Is what this person is saying, does it line up with what the Word of God has to say?
Mm-hmm.
And if it can line up with what the Word of God has to say, then you move forward with it. If it doesn't, you reject it and you move on. But anytime you hear somebody saying, I've been given a vision from God about something, to me, that's a red flag. That is a red flag, because what we know to be true has already been given to us in Christ, and it's
Amen.
Been revealed to us in the Word of God. So we need some discernment. We need to check out all of those spirits, as John encourages us to do in his first letter, and to test them and make sure
and
they line up with what the Word of God has to say.
And you're right, sir. That's what I do. And what they do is they come in secret. They work in secret. They don't let people know they're into a cell. And what they do is they train 12 people to be cell leaders. These leaders are each responsible for discipling 12 others in a cell group.
So it's kind of like a pyramid scheme.
Huh?
It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. You know, 12
yeah.
to 12
did
to 12.
Did Jesus do that?
What's that?
Did Jesus do that? Did he go discipling 12 on 12?
Well, he had his 12, and again, he was trying to train up leaders, and those
mm-hmm.
leaders were to take that gospel message out to the world. Well, Sandra, I don't want to get into all the detail of the G12 movement. Like I said, I'm unfamiliar with it.
Okay.
I could only speculate on what it might be. But the point I think that is important is each of us have been given the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God
mm-hmm.
has come to live inside of us. And the Spirit of God teaches us truth. The Spirit of God takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. And if we will allow the Spirit of God to do his work, then we will be able to look at these particular things and do so with a spirit of discernment, knowing what's right and what's wrong. Well, Sandra, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer.
This is Basic Gospel, of course, and for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, we have one for you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can get yours by going online to basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Just ask for The Hurt and the Healer, and our operator can arrange your gift to the ministry to accommodate that. 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona, and talk with Patricia, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Doing fine.
I have a concern. I was making a address to Dr. Dobson on my situation, which I had faxed some letters and literature on what was going on with me in Tucson. I just can't believe how some of the churches in the nation, which Dr. Dobson was referring to, that they could take children, DCYF, and keep the children for years and years and years without reuniting their children back with their parents, and how crooked the organization is with the law standing behind it. And I'm just concerned on how the churches can intervene and try to help that organization out. And the fact that if we go to pray for this organization, which that's what I'm doing right now because I'm protesting, I just can't believe that no one will intervene on these children, because these children are suffering in our system. All for the dollar, all for the money.
What organization is it? What organization?
It's department. Well, I call it CPS, but
okay,
I
Child Protective Services.
Yeah, like with the D, you know, where the women can just turn around, and if you don't sign any documents or papers, when they come out to visit you and your children, say at a house, a park, a school, or whatever. And if you don't sign it, they'll come right out of their car and they'll sign it and they'll say right to your face, you lost all custodial custody of your child. Now we
have. Patricia, it's an organization that has a lot of power. I think it probably has too much power. They're making judgments about things that, can turn around and not be the right judgment at all. It's not the right decision. The original intent, I think, was for the protection of those children that were being abused. So it had a good intent, to begin with. But like anything, that can be perverted. And certainly in some cases, that's what's happening. Saw a recent story of, Child Protective Services coming in and taking away a young kid from a father that had a drinking problem. They put this kid in a foster home where there was abuse. They took them out of that foster home, put them in another foster home where something happened and the child died. Incredible. You say, shame on them. That person should be judged and brought to brought to sentence. I think that's a crime, that's what's happening. So we have to understand what's going on. I think that's one of the things that God calls us to, is to see the world realistically. But it really gets down to the problem of the world. We can have systems, we can have all sorts of things in place to try to protect, to try to do what's right and good, but all of those systems are run by people with hearts that are deceitful, that are evil, that are controlled and dominated by sin. So there's always going to be abuses. There's always going to be perversions of what was intentionally meant as something for good. That's just the way of the world, and that's why this gospel message is so vitally important. That's why we need to keep bringing people back to the basic, most important truth about Jesus Christ, that through faith in Jesus Christ, these hearts of ours can be circumcised in such a way that we can actually learn to love God genuinely and then pass that love on to others, to be difference makers in this world. We're not going to change the world system. That's going to be changed when the Lord comes back. We can only do what we have right in front of us, what we can see, and we reach out, we help that one person, we meet the need of this other person, and we leave the big stuff in God's hands. And bless your heart for bringing this to our attention and for what God is doing through you in this regard, Patricia. We sure appreciate your call today. So thank you. Well, we're going to put Patricia on hold and get some more information from her. In the meantime, let's talk with Evelyn, listening to us in Providence, Rhode Island on WARV. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. How are you today, sir?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. This is the first time I have a call radio station. My question is, for those women entering their 50s like me, I've never had emotional problems going up and down and crying over little things or even big things. And I seem to have an issue now on anger, and my anger creates to crying for 2 days or a day or a couple of hours, whatever. And I never experienced that. What literature or advice you can send me to that I can read or even go to counseling or something like that? To help me with things like that, I seem to be going up and down like a roller coaster ride, going into emotions, and I take it out. I'm starting a new relationship. I'm a Christian, and I find myself sometimes taking it out on the person that I'm dating. Yeah. And I don't want to continue that way. I want to overcome this.
Well, Evelyn, here's a couple of things that we will do. I'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. It's a wonderful treatment of emotions, why we feel the way that we do, and how our thinking is a big part of that. Also, you know, I would certainly encourage you to visit your physician. You know, if you're at the age of 50 and, you know, body changes, hormonal changes, that can certainly be a big part of what's going on with you at this particular moment in time. And maybe there's some things your physician can recommend or prescribe that could help as well. But I think that's where I would start with you. It's a very common thing, and I think you can get some help. But I think this book will be a big help to you as well. As we talked about at the beginning of the program, Evelyn, we feel things because we think things. And so a lot of our emotional stresses that we experience come from thinking that's going on. So you may be going through this physical change. You're starting to think things about you, and that is producing some emotional responses. So I think if we can take a holistic approach to what you're going through, go see your physician. Let me get this book into your hands. So we look at it from a spiritual and a physical standpoint. I think we're going to come to a good solution for you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Evelyn. You hold the line, and we'll send you this book, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. You hold on, okay?
Yeah, those physiological changes are real as rain.
Yes, they are.
They need to be addressed. They truly, truly do. Well, The Hurt and the Healer, of course, available to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net and request your copy. Make your gift, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 and talk to our operator, Billy. She will take care of it and arrange your gift and get a copy on the way to you. Again, that's at 1-800-727-2828. Now, the different phone number for your conversation with us here at Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377, where we have open lines right now.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Matthew, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you all today?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good, good. I actually have a question to ask, but I also wanted to make a comment right quick on a gentleman that had called last week on an illustration of the Holy Trinity. And I wasn't able to get through, but I wanted to say, it may have been said on there before, I'm not sure, but it's kind of like the Holy Trinity is like water, vapor, and ice.
Yes.
You know,
that's a great illustration.
So water, vapor, ice is all H2O, and you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's the Godhead. So I don't know if that's a real good illustration, but that's the best that I can do. But I hope that, you know, it's cleared up with some people. But my question is, in Revelation, where it talks about the 144,000, when God comes back for the 144,000 to be, I guess, taken out of here through the certain tribes, I was just wondering if somebody could explain that to me a little bit more so that I understand.
Well, Matthew, I'm going to defer to Richard and let him answer that, because it's an interesting question. Is it just 144,000 people that are saved? I think the context would say otherwise, but you still have that number. Who are they? Does it represent people? Does it represent, the idea of completeness, the fullness of those who have come to Christ? Richard, what's your take on the 144,000?
Well, first, I find it interesting that this little piece of the story in Revelation comes between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And if you remember this scroll with seals on it, no one can open the seals, and everybody's upset, and Jesus shows up as the Lamb of God. And he is the only one who can open these seals. And so they open these seals, and they open six of them, and then there's this pause, and we meet two groups of people. One is the 144,000, which looks for all the world like it would represent Judaism of some kind. Is it a literal number? I can't tell you. I don't know. It's a lot of people, though. But below that, in the next little section, starting in verse 9 of Revelation 7, John is shown a great multitude that is from every nation and all tribes. And so what we see here is some kind of a balance between Jew and Gentile. The gospel has always been for Jew and Gentile. The salvation that Jesus brought was predestined to be the same for both Jew and Gentile, as we see in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and in Ephesians 1, other places as well. And I think that message is being carried out here and letting us know that in spite of what is happening, and these aren't very good things that are happening in the seals and then the trumpets and then the final bowls of God's retribution, this is signs of judgment on the earth. And in the midst of all this judgment on the earth because of the evil nature of who mankind is and what Satan has done, John receives these little pictures all the way through at various points that talk about various people groups that are saved. And I think that the pictures are given not to tell us exactly how many people are, but to right. give us hope that says, don't fear. Don't worry that all of this other stuff is happening around you, maybe even happening to you because Satan's picking on saved people, but that Jesus knows who you are. He's got you in his hands. No one can take you out of his hands by his own word, John 10. And so even in the midst of whatever's going on in all these judgments and the upheaval in the world, one, Jesus is in control. Two, Jesus is completely victorious. And three, because we are in him, we are victorious, whether Jew or Gentile. No matter how many people it represents, no matter how few people it represents, you and I, as children of God, can live in absolute assurance and confidence.
So basically, like I know in the Bible, in Revelation, or you know, throughout the Bible, it talks about the Jews being, you know, God's chosen people. But so if somebody has accepted Christ, you know, that I guess what I'm trying to understand is basically the people that accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior are now Gentiles?
No. Anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior becomes a child of God. The children of God, or the church, the called out ones, are made up of both Jews and Gentiles. So the reason the Bible separates it that way is because the Jews were chosen originally, coming through Abraham and all of that, and that left everybody else as Gentiles. But that's where this split ends. It's just, you know, Jews is where Jesus came through, and the Gentiles, he didn't come through them, but salvation comes through Jesus to both of those people groups.
Does that help, Matthew? Great.
Yeah, that does help. I don't want to take too much time. I know other people are wanting to call in, but I just want to ask one more question. You know, with the Garden of Eden, you know, if we were, you know, if Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, you know, and God created Adam and then he created Eve from a rib of Adam, you know, why did he allow Satan? You know, I understand there's going to be questions that we're not going to get the right answers, you know, on everything, but why did God allow Satan to deceive, you know, Eve, and why?
Well, Matthew, that's I think that's a question.
Instead of making everybody, you know, I mean.
Well, Matthew, I think that's a question that is beyond, you know, our finite minds. That's something that we will learn at a later time. We don't know that answer, other than the fact that that's what happened. But God has this great rescue plan that's being fully executed in the person of Christ, and through faith in him, we're saved. Well, Matthew, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold.
Yeah, friends, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is supported only through your prayers and gifts. To express our thanks for your generous gift in any amount, we're going to send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. We all hurt, you know. If not today, then at some future point, we all need healing. But where do we find it? Well, Bart and Andrew have written The Hurt and the Healer to show the way, and it's yours for a gift of any amount through Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828 for The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying goodbye from Dallas. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.